Good morning, everybody. I trust you had a great 4th of July weekend and you're enjoying your time with your friends and your family, that you cooked a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs and barbecue and have been eating really well this weekend and shut off a lot of fireworks last night. I was thinking about this earlier today about how when a long time ago, my oldest son, Preston, came to me one night. I was studying in my office and I was deep in study and he said, "Dad, can I shoot off the leftover fireworks in the garage?" And it was like July 2nd, I believe, somewhere close to that date. And I said, "Sure, son, just, you know, it's fine." And there were just a few small things there. I had forgotten what was actually there and thinking that it was just a couple of small things. And they had shot off fireworks before, and I trusted him to shoot those off in a safe manner. And I was in there studying, and all of a sudden I heard a boom, great big boom, and a bang. And our glass window shattered in the front of our house. And I was like, "What just happened?" I went out there, "What just happened?" And their eyes, of course, are this big. And like, "I don't know. I just lit this." They couldn't have found out they had gotten a artillery shell ball that belongs in a tube that you put in with a long fuse sticking out that goes up and, you know, bursts in the air. They lit that off without a tube. And so, therefore, it went shooting straight out and went right through our front window, and well, you learned the hard way, right? That's what I get for letting them shoot them off without adult supervision. We laugh about it now, but at the time, I was very, very upset. So I pray that you didn't have any of those mishaps this weekend, that you've enjoyed your time, and I'm just going to invite you to draw close today for a few minutes. I want to tell you two quick stories in the Bible and share some thoughts about that. And then I'll let you get back to your family and enjoying your family this weekend. And it's going to be a great day. So let me ask you the question. Have you ever been offended by somebody? Have you ever had someone who you showed kindness to, who took advantage of that kindness? Have you ever did something for somebody and they took advantage of that? Did you try to bless somebody, try to help somebody, and they just seem to do the wrong thing instead of doing the right thing, taking advantage of your kindness or taking something from you that you had earned? I bet you were offended. It really offends us when people take advantage of our kindness. Today, I want to talk to you about that thought and ask you the question, are you free or are you offended? You can't be both. In order to be free, you've got to live your life free of offense. And so we're going to talk about that today. I want to talk to you about one of our main characters. His name is Abram. Remember, Abram, God later changed his name to Abraham. Abraham and Sarah. But we know before his name was changed to Abraham, his name was called Abram. And God had told Abram, "I want you to pack up all your stuff. I want you to take all your belongings and your immediate family and take them with you and go to a land I'm sending you to. I'm going to bless you." And so Abraham was leaving out of obedience. And he had a nephew by the name of Lot, and Lot asked if he could tag along as well. Have you ever had a family member who wants to go along with you on trips and vacations? They don't want to pay for anything, but they want to go along on your free vacation. You know, they want to use your gas, stay in your hotel room, and, you know, kind of crash your vacation, and yet they don't want to ever, you know, chip in on that. Well, this is Lot. Lot was the Uncle Eddie of the family. "All right, Clark, you know, the family's here." You know, he was the Uncle Eddie of the family. He always tried to take advantage of that situation. Every family member has one. Raise your hand if you know that person. If they're in the room with you, don't raise your hand now. Wait till you get home, okay? All right. Let's pick it up, this story now, in Genesis chapter 13, in verses 5 and 11. We see this story about how they're not getting along. Lot's not getting along with Abram, and their workers are clashing, their families are clashing. And let's pick it up. It's verses 5 through 11 of Genesis 13. "Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also flocks and herds and the tents. But the land could not support both of them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay there together. And quarreling arose between Abraham's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. So Abraham said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between the herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers.'" What a great attitude, right? He goes, it's not the whole land before you. Let's part ways. If you go to the left, then I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. Lot looked up and he saw the whole plain of Jordan was watered like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. Now look at this. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of Jordan and set out towards the east, and the two men parted company. Now, what I want you to see in this story is there's a couple things I really want to point out to you about this. First of all, both Abraham and Lot were both blessed. But really, let me tell you this. Abram was the man God was blessing. Lot was the young nephew who just wanted to tag along. And before we get into the context of this story, I just want to point something out to you. That sometimes, even though you are not always doing the right thing, if you'll connect yourself with somebody who's being blessed, your life can't help but be blessed as well. And sometimes, you know, we're not always making the wisest decisions, but if you can make a decision to connect with somebody who's wise, you connect with somebody who's being blessed of God, that blessing many times will spill out and you'll benefit from that blessing as well. And this is what was happening here. Lot was being blessed because he was hanging out with his uncle who was blessed. And because Abram was being blessed, Lot began to get blessed as well. And the Bible says they both had a lot of tents, a lot of herds. They had a lot of workers. They were being blessed, a lot of tents. They had all these things that were, wealth was building up, and they had so much that they had to part ways. And so I just want to point this out to you. Look at this statement. Oftentimes, it's in the season of plenty or the season of blessing that you get tested the most. Sometimes we don't realize that, but when we're going through a blessing, that oftentimes is when our heart will get tested the most. Abraham is trying to bring peace here. Lot is bringing division. They're not getting along. And so Abraham tries to do the right thing. He tries to bring peace into the family. And he tells Lot, all right, you can pick first. You choose the land you want. And it says that Lot looks out there, and he sees one side had plenty of water. It had plenty of greenery that was growing like a big garden. He's like, this is the perfect place to water my cattle, to feed my cattle, to plant our gardens. This is the perfect place. And the other side was just the opposite. And so you would think, though, that it would have been different, because Abraham could have lost everything. Abram could have lost everything by giving Lot the first choice. Think about that. He could have lost the whole thing by letting him choose the land he wanted first. But Abram did the right thing. Now, I imagine in my mind, Abram's probably thinking, you know what? If I do the right thing, then it will inspire Lot to do the right thing. Lot's reaction says to me, no, uncle. This is your trip. You're the one who God spoke to. You're the one who God's blessing. I've already received a lot of blessing just from being with you. You choose first, uncle. You're the elder. I'm going to honor you here and let you choose first. But Lot didn't do it that way. And instead, he chose selfishly the land he wanted first, leaving his uncle Abram with the land that was dry. It was like a big dust bowl over there. So I can imagine, we don't see Abram's reaction, but I can imagine he was frustrated. I can imagine he was beyond offended that he tried to go above and beyond and do the right thing. And his nephew, who was supposed to be close family, that he's bringing up, he's helped raising there, and he's helping bring a blessing to his life, he takes advantage of that to the point where he just goes and he chooses the best of the best and gives Abram the leftovers. So I'm sure he's very, very frustrated on the inside, as any of us would be. See, I want you to understand, though, there's something about the blessing here that we see something happen here. We see where Abram sets himself up for a blessing. We're not sure what happens, but something is going on in his heart. And look what the next verse says in verses 14 through 17 of Genesis 13. This is God's response to him. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had left him and parted his ways, he says, now, Abram, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. all the land that you see, I will give you and your offspring forever. He goes, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. He goes, go, walk through the length of the land, for I'm giving it to you. This is an amazing thing we see happening here, that God says, lift up your eyes. Look at me. He says, look up your eyes. It's a common thing we see in Scripture that God uses this phrase a lot to his people. Just look at it in the Bible. You'll see many times where God said, lift up your head, lift up your face, lift up your eyes. Look to me. I'm the source of your blessing. I'm the source of your answer. I'm the source of what the miracle is going to take place in your life. And so he tells Abram, lift up your eyes. I'm about to do something mighty in your midst. I love this because God pays attention to his children. God sees the distress of Abram's heart. You know, in my own life, I know when my children are upset. I can tell when my children are upset. I can sense that. It's something I have as a parent. My wife and I, we can tell when each other are upset. Even if we don't say a word, we can look at each other and say, what's wrong with you? What's going on? Why? Because we've been with each other long enough, we can read each other's faces without ever saying a word. And this is an amazing thing, that God knows us so closely that he knows that when we're upset, he understands when we're having turmoil in our heart. And he says, lift up your head, lift up your eyes, look at me, guard your heart, and keep it in the right spot. God says this to him. It's an amazing thing, because Abram did the right thing, because Abram blessed somebody. Look what it says here. God said, because you chose to bless someone who didn't deserve it, I'm about to bless you more. Come on, somebody, today. You understand what's happening today. That because Abram did the right thing to somebody who was taking advantage of his kindness, he chose to do the right thing and went above and beyond. And he blessed somebody he should have been correcting. If that had been you and I, we'd have said, all right, listen, young man, as your uncle, let me tell you right now, you take your things, you're taking advantage of my hospitality. You're not getting along with my workers. You're not getting along with my family. How about you pack it back up and you go back home to your mom and dad? I've already got my own family to raise. I don't need to raise you right now. That would have been our response. That's the natural response. But Abram went above and beyond. Instead, he treated his nephew with extreme kindness, extreme generosity, to the point where he even let him pick out the land that he wanted. He let him keep the blessing that he received along the way just from traveling along with him. And he said, you go first. You choose the right thing. I'm sure his heart was struggling with that. I'm sure that wasn't an easy decision, but he knew it's what God was asking him to do. He understood, this is what the nature inside of me is. I've got to bless. I can't let bitterness and offense settle in my heart. But because he guarded his heart from offense, God decided to bless him even more. Listen today, I want you to receive this. God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten the promises he's made to you. Guard your heart from being offended when things aren't coming the way you think they should, when things aren't happening the way that you think they should. I want you to guard your heart from this offense. Everything in life is, it's a test of our heart. Everything in life is a test of our heart. Look at this scripture in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, what? Guard your heart. Everything else flows down from it. It comes from your heart. And he tells us, guard your heart above all things. Why? Keep offense from settling in your heart. Keep offense from dominating your life. Because when offense dominates your life, as we'll find out in a minute, it opens the door for sin to control our life. So I guard my heart. And when I guard my heart and keep it free, it opens the door of blessing from God. So I want you to learn to free yourself from this offense. Now look at this statement in just a second. But first, let me tell you, there's a big difference between a wound and an offense. Being wounded and having offense. Look at this statement. A wound is something that is inflicted upon you. An offense is something we choose to hold on to. Think about that. That's strong, isn't it? I can't help who wounds me. I can't help it many times when wounds and I get wounded. I can't help that. But I can help how I get offended. Listen, it's never our choice to be wounded, but it's always our choice to be offended. Somebody today really needs to hear that. You've lived your life offended, and for good reasons. You've had people who've taken advantage and hurt you, and deeply, I understand it. But you got to guard your heart. As a child of God, you got to guard your heart that I don't hold on to offense, because it ties me up, it chains me up, and doesn't allow me to receive the full blessing that God wants to do in my life. Instead, it strips away my freedom. It takes away my joy. It takes away my happiness. See, wounds will eventually heal. But an offense, I choose to hang on to. See, when I'm wounded, yes, it hurts, and I'm hurting right now, but wounds eventually get better. Wounds eventually begin to heal, and they will, over time, get better. An offense, I'm hanging on to it, and it ain't going nowhere because I'm not letting it go. That's the big difference. Let's look in the Bible at another man who had to deal with being offended and see how he chose to respond the opposite way of Abram. We find this story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. Let's read verses 2 through 5. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. So one is a farmer and one is a herdsman. Abel had cattle and sheep and goats, whatever. He was a herdsman, and Cain worked the field. He grew the garden and he grew the crops. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of his soil. See, remember that, over the course of time. Took him a little time, but he did it, but it took him a little slower than he probably should have. He brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But look at the difference. Abel's heart, he brought the fat portions, some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Time out, real fast. We learn in the scripture here that God wants and blesses our first. He doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't want us to be slow about it. He wants us to be excited about bringing the first of our tithe, the first of our time, the first of my attitude, my first emotions, my first efforts. Everything I have should belong to the Lord. I give him first. If I'm going to quit doing something because I'm too busy, it's not going to be coming to the house of the Lord. If I'm going to quit something because I'm too tired, it's not going to be serving and giving in ministry. No, it's going to be the exact opposite. Those things belong to the Lord first. And there's a blessing that comes along with that. But we see here, look, let's continue. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain became very angry, and his face was downcast. See that reaction? The same thing we see in Abram's life. Abram was downcast, looking down, upset. But we see here, Cain was also very upset. Why? Because his offering didn't receive the praise that his brother's offering had received. And in our life, I want you to understand there's something that happens here. His face was the same way. They're responding the same way, but Abram guarded his heart and Cain didn't. Cain became offended. As a matter of fact, Cain is so disappointed at God. He's not disappointed at his brother. He's disappointed at God. It was God he was mad at, because God received his brother's offering better and spoke with favor and was giving more favor to his brother's offering than to his offering. And so he's getting mad at God. He's getting offended at God. And it becomes a tragic story, because this offense comes in and he gets so mad that he ends up killing his brother. One of the most tragic stories in all of Scripture, a brother kills his own brother over an offense that he held on to in his heart. And it was really for nothing, though. See, Abraham could have been mad a lot. Abraham could have been so mad a lot, he could have took out vengeance on him. He could have sent him home. But instead, he let go of the offense, and he decided he was going to guard his heart. See, Cain couldn't see this. The story of Cain and Abel. Cain couldn't see this. Cain couldn't see that he was already blessed as well. See, he brought some of his crops. He was receiving a harvest. He had plenty of crops. He was just being slow, and he wasn't bringing the first and the best. He was just kind of bringing some here and there and giving God what was convenient for him versus bringing the first and the best of his crops to the Lord. And see, he was offended at God. Envy at its core, look at this. Envy at its core is the sin of comparing ourselves to other people. Now, let's think about that. When you begin to let envy come in, oh, he was so envious of what his brother was receiving, the blessing of God. Have you ever been there? Man, why is God blessing them and not me? Why is God letting them to be blessed and not my life? And then envy comes in, and before you know it, you're getting offended because God isn't blessing you in some way. He's choosing to bless somebody else. It was a common thing. We see this even in the New Testament. Some of the disciples had some of these same issues, and Jesus had to correct them and said, what is it to you who I blessed? You're all blessed. And eventually, we're all going to receive the same reward. It's called heaven. We're all going to receive this. And so he goes, but if I choose to bless somebody now, what's it to you? And so God was trying to even talk about that same spirit to his own disciples. We've got to guard ourselves. Let's look at the rest of the story in 4, 6, and 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must be its master. You see, this really wasn't that big of a deal. He could have corrected this very easily. God was saying to Cain, listen, why are you so upset? He goes, just pick up your head. Start bringing me your best. Start giving your tithe the way I've instructed you to do, and you'll be blessed as well. It was a very easy fix. He was already talking with God. He was already communing with God. He was already being blessed with the harvest. But because he held on and got offended, anger came, sin overtook him, and he murdered his brother. Listen, this is why God wants us to protect our heart from offense. When offense comes in our heart, we allow sin. We open up our life to sin, to rule, and to dominate. And Jesus has already set us free from that on the cross. He doesn't want us dominated by sin. And when I hang on to offense, it opens that door back up in my life. Let go of the offense. I do not control being wounded, but I do have control of being offended. Listen, people are going to hurt you and going to wound you. And it's going to hurt for a while. It's going to sting. It's going to be painful, but God will heal you, and God will take care of you if you guard your heart. I can tell you there's been several times in my life, in my family's life, especially as a pastor, when people, you're just a lightning rod for criticism. You're a lightning rod for people to hate on you, and there's been times in my life that I've had to operate and walk this out. It's been times when people did things and I showed kindness to them and their family, and instead they betray, instead they hurt. And it can really, really mess with your mind. Here I am trying to give my life and lay my life down. And in one instance, and now all of a sudden they're willing to throw that away. It can be very hurtful. And I can tell you, in all those instances in my life, the only way I could move past being offended and receiving the healing for that was to simply say, honey, let's pray. And there was many times we'd hold hands and we'd pray and we'd call out the people who had hurt us. We'd call them out by name and say, Father, forgive them. God, bless them. God, bless them. God, bless them. They don't understand how much they're hurting us, but God, bless them anyway. Bless their family. Bless their children. And we spoke that blessing over them. And I can tell you, as we prayed for them and blessed them, there was something that came in our heart that freed us up. There was something that lifted off of me when I began to do that. It freed me up. I can tell you, there's nothing like being free from offense that sets you truly free. See, I think there's no other time that we become more like Jesus than when we forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. Because that's the way Jesus forgave us. Let me close with this one scripture, 1 Peter 2:23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. He's talking about Jesus. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body and on the tree, the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Now look at this. By his wounds, you have been healed. Today, I know that when we look at the scripture in context and contextually, it's about physical healing, but I want you to know it's also about emotional healing. Jesus went through a lot of pain on his way to the cross. He had his closest friends reject him. He had his closest interns sell him out. He had his own family, his own cities, where he was born and raised, say he can't be the Messiah. He had people who looked at him and said, even though he's done no wrong, we'd rather have this man crucified than the best thief in town. This criminal, we know him. His name is Barabbas. Free him. And let the innocent man, Jesus, you crucify him instead. Jesus understands rejection. He understands being spat upon and crucified and beaten. For why? Because he proclaimed to be who he was, the Son of God. What an emotional pain, not just the physical pain he went through of the crucifixion, but a tremendous amount of emotional pain he went through. Why did he bore that? Because he bore that so that you and I, by his wounds, we are healed. You don't have to allow your wounds to grow into offenses where you hang on to them for the rest of your life. You can release those in Jesus' name and receive healing and freedom. Today, I'm excited that you have joined us for this study, and I know it's lifting up your heart today, and I want you to be free from offense. I'm going to come back in just a minute, and I'm going to close you out with a strong word of prayer over these offenses in your life. But right now, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back, and they're going to lead us in a closing song of worship. And I want you to reflect on your own heart and say, Father, am I hanging on to offense in my heart? Let's worship together. All my life you have been faithful. Today, I want you to remember, by his wounds, you are healed. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that you allow our wounds to heal, our hurts to heal. And I pray today that people begin to step up and have the courage to let go, to release that offense, the things we're hanging on to that have offended us, that we will be more like Jesus and learn to let it go. And when we do that, we allow you to heal our wounds. And I pray to Father, people are loosing the grip on offense today. And they're inviting you to come in, take control of their heart, and to heal their heart from offense, that we can truly live free, because who the Son has set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, we say amen and amen. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.